Well, good morning to you, and a very warm welcome to our audio service this Sunday morning. And our theme today is God's promised security and his sovereignty on our lives. And because of that, Jesus tells us that we should be people who do not worry. Our confidence is that God has his hand, his touch upon our lives. And so we sing together. Lovely to hear this week from Peter and from Graham and Anne and Jeanette, from John and Julie and Stephen and Cam, from Simon and Bev and from Graham, Martin and Kate, from Carol and Carol's friend Jackie, who we love to see when she visits us. So good morning, Jackie. Thanks for listening in. And a belated birthday greeting to Simon. Here we go, Simon. I trust that you had a really wonderful birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Okay, well, now we turn to our Bible, and this week to Matthew chapter 6, some verses from Matthew 6, and then on to Philippians chapter 4. And Cam is going to read those verses to us this week.
First Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Second Bible reading is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you, Cam. And so this week, I want us to think about Jesus' clear instructions not to worry. Now, I have to admit to being a worrier. The episode with my PC threw me into panicking about all sorts of nasty things happening. And I'm not on my own. I think our whole society is a worrying society. It seems to be a whole industry designed to worry us. You turn on the TV and there's holidays from hell and innumerable programs about health scares, programs on food that you should never eat, or take a look behind the scenes at your local takeaway. No wonder we worry. Health and safety has become a major issue in our lives. I mean, one of the reasons that our building, along with most other FIAC church buildings, are still closed is the requirement for us to do an exhaustive full health and safety audit, listing all the potential hazards and then putting them right. Schools have stopped pupils playing conkers. Would you believe it? And on it goes. We live longer than any other society in history, but we are plagued by constant worry about our health and about our safety. Why? Why is it like that? Well, one of the main reasons surely must be is because we don't believe in the life to come. And even if we do believe in it, we much prefer life here on earth to life in heaven. And then we don't believe in a sovereign God who can be trusted with our lives. And the result of that, the result of our lack of belief, is that we worry. But the Bible says, to worry is sinful. Jesus in Matthew 6 and the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 forbids the Christian to be excessively worried or to be excessively anxious. And surely this is one of those big life areas that should be speaking out, showing that Christians are different from non-Christians. Problem is that for a lot of the time, we aren't different. So if you are a worrier like me, and you read in the Bible that worry is sinful, then it makes you even more worried. And so I'm preaching this message to myself this morning, but you can listen in. The word that our English translators translate as worry or anxiety literally means to have a divided mind. In other words, whatever is occupying your thoughts is suddenly taken over all the time by this other thing, this big concern that might happen. You can't enjoy the blessings of today because of cares, because of worries about tomorrow. That's what the Bible means by worry, by anxiety. Now, it's not talking about sensible planning for tomorrow, planning ahead to minimize risk. In the story of Joseph, we know that he discovered that there would be 7 years of terrible famine. And so he planned ahead and he stored during the 7 years of plenty, and that was right. There was no, oh Lord, I'm just leaning back and trusting you. No, he acted with wisdom and planned for the future. So saving for the future, taking out your insurance, making plans is not wrong. And one of the solutions for worry is to do everything that you can do now as if it all depended on you, and then trust God as if it all depended upon him. So look with me at Matthew 6. And as you are turning there, can I underline the point that God hasn't made us superhuman. There are natural worries in life. So if your child always gets home from school at 3 o'clock and it's now 6:30, you would be naturally worried. If you weren't, that wouldn't be a sign of your super saintliness. It would be a sinful lack of care for your child. There is a natural care which will bring concerns and anxiety and worry in life. So here in chapter 6, Jesus mentions 9 times and encourages his disciples to think of God as their Father. Verse 4, your Father sees. Verse 8, your Father knows everything. Now, if you and I really believed that we have a Father who sees all and knows all about our life and our daily walk in this world, then that would make us less panicky. And that's what Jesus points us to first in his teaching, that we shouldn't worry. He points us first to the fact that God is your friend. The sovereign God is in control. And then Jesus goes on and brings more teaching to worriers, that if God cares enough to do the huge things he's done for you, when you look back and think about the huge things that God has done for you, then surely we can trust him for the smaller things. So he says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? If God is so set on saving us through Jesus Christ, then of course we can trust him for the relatively smaller things of everyday life. If God cared enough to deal with the huge problem of sin in my life, then I can trust him with all the other things of life that often worry us. Next verse. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? It's the same kind of argument. Jesus says if God cares and concerns himself about that little blue tit, then how much more will he lavish his love and care on you, his child? And then Jesus goes on to say, who of you by worrying can add one single hour to his life? Worry achieves absolutely nothing. It won't stop things happening. So Jesus says, don't do it. Our times are in God's hands. Now, please don't listen to this in a kind of, oh, if I just trust the Lord, then I'll never have any worries. I'll never be anxious. That's not what Jesus says at all. Look at the final verse of the chapter. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Each and every day for you and me will bring some kind of concerns and troubles and anxieties. But trust God to help you with today's troubles and leave tomorrow in the hand of God. Tomorrow always belongs to God. It never belongs to us. Leave all our tomorrows in the hand of God. And then, verse 31, Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, seek his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Christians should be those who have other things on their minds. Shouldn't have the things that the pagan, the unbelieving world continually worries about and strives for. Money and clothes and jobs and careers and health issues and ultimately, of course, not dying. Jesus says the Christian's treasure, it's not like that. It's not here on earth. And so if your treasure is found in this world and those kind of things, the Bible says you're not a Christian. And Jesus says if you're not a Christian, you do have a lot to worry about. So don't lay up your treasure. Don't lay up your treasure, what you actually live for in this world's stuff. Turn your life over to Jesus, and you then have nothing to worry about. So seek God's kingdom above everything else, and all these other things God promises will be given to you as you need them. And my final thought comes from the verses that Cam read in Philippians. There in verse 6 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant, because it shows so clearly that Christianity is not some airy-fairy dreamy thing, that God sorts everything out, that nothing ever goes amiss, for the saints of God, that all you hear from them is that they have peace, they're at peace, they're at peace. No, no, that's not it. Look at what the great apostle Paul says in chapter 2 of Philippians there, and verse 28. Chapter 2, verse 28, he says, "Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him," it's Epaphroditus, "to send him to you, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may be less anxious." Come on, Paul. Don't tell me that you, Paul, who goes on to write that we should never be anxious about anything, is himself often anxious. Pull yourself together, Paul. But you see, this is real life for Christians. Even apostles do not sail along life's journey never troubled. And I find that such an encouragement. Because really, don't you find that much of your praying, that so often what drives us to our knees stems from our anxiety and our worry? And worry about our family. Worry about our friends and our neighbours. Worry about the way that so many people are heading for an eternal future of destruction and torment. There is legitimate concern. The point that is being made from our Lord Jesus and from the Apostle is that we Christians should never let earthly concerns, just the ordinary earthly kind of things, things I mentioned, money troubles and jobs and careers, and we should never let those kind of things rob us of today's blessings in Christ. So Paul, writing in Philippians, says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You see, if your whole life is taken up with Christ, then to die and to go and be with him is gain. And later, Paul says that his greatest gain, death for me, he says, is better by far. I wonder if you or I actually believe that, because that's the secret of Paul being able to have the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And so we pray, loving Father, forgive us for times when we lose our trust in you. And grant that even from this simple reminder, we might grow in our security. In the security that you promise for each of your children. Amen. Now, a few folk got the answer right last week to the question regarding what was the name of the valley between Elim and Sinai. And, of course, it was the Valley of Sin. Now, I must mention Jeanette again, who works really hard each week until she finds the answer. Well, here's another one for you all. When Elijah went to heaven, God called him home. What takes him to heaven? What does the Bible say takes Elijah to heaven at his death, as it were? And so our closing song it speaks of the wonder of seeing the love of the Lord Jesus in our lives. It speaks of waves of mercy being poured day by day into our lives as we follow him.
Say that again, I long to be.